Can you hear us now online? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
We all set?
Yes.
Okay, this is an opportunity for any members of the public who would like to make a comment for an item that's not on the agenda. Do you have anybody that would like to do so?
No raised hands online and nothing received at the office and no one in the boardroom.
Okay. Next up is, well, sorry, I'll let you introduce that.
Will do. All right. Public hearing docket 24002, City of Santa Cruz regular variance. Project Resource Recovery Facility 605.
Item four is the...
Oh, I'm sorry, gosh.
The minutes.
Strike that. All right. Number four is accept and file summary of actions for the Hearing Board special meeting of April 22nd, 2024.
So I've read those and I see that this is... Wants to make a motion to accept the
action. I would like to motion to accept the package or the minutes.
And I like to go ahead and second that.
Okay, great.
Would you like a roll call vote?
Please.
Chair Guth?
Yep.
Director Dodge? Director Linder?
Yes.
Approved.
Great.
Here we go.
Okay, you're ready, Will. Item.
All right. All right. Number five, agenda number five, public hearing docket 24-002, City of Santa Cruz regular variance, project site resource recovery facility 605, DeMayo Lane, Santa Cruz, California.
Council, before we get going. So, this is not a continuation of the interim variance, as far as I read it. It's got a different docket number. It's long-term variance and a regular variance. So we have a record created for the prior interim variance. And I was thinking as we go that I would just have petitioner present again and staff present again, because this is, in my view, a different hearing than the prior hearing. I might ask for them or allow them or suggest to them that it might be more abbreviated because we're more familiar already, but I just wanted to check with you that it's not like a continuous, we really
I think you could simply take this step of saying that you're going to incorporate the record from the prior proceeding so that all the materials that were presented previously are considered as part of this record for the judgment that's going to be made on the variance. Previously, you only had to make the emergency findings. The record is very similar here. It's been augmented a little bit, but I would simply suggest that that be something that's stated aloud and can made part of our record here today, just to clarify that all the materials that were presented in the past and today are being reintroduced. I don't think there's going to be a distinction that someone's going to come in and argue that prior material can't be used for this one because it's a separate hearing. But if you're inclined to be prophylactic, simply incorporating it with a recital of that nature would be sufficient.
And so that's your suggestion to me, and you think I, as authority as chair, I can bring that record in?
Yes.
So before we start, I'd like to declare that we'll bring the factual record in from the hearing from April 22nd on this item. Okay, to start, I'm going to administer oath to persons who I've been presented with. So if anybody who believes they're going to speak that hasn't been listed or doesn't get mentioned, please let me know afterwards. I'm going to recite the oath once and then go name by name and see if I receive an affirmation person by person. So Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, starting with Resources District Staff Amy Climo?
Yes.
Thank you. Mary Gerardo?
Yes.
Thank you. Armando Jimenez?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so Hoy Yu? Thank you. Kevin Crofton? Not today. Give me a second, I'll come around to you. So Nathan Nguyen? Hey, Bob Nelson?
Yes.
Guadalupe Sanchez? Okay. And I'm not sure if some of these people might be online, and I just want to double check that our online is actually where we would hear them if they were affirming. Barbara Choi?
This is Victoria Thompson. I'm here from the City Attorney's Office on behalf of Barbara Choi. And yes.
Kendra Kent?
Yes.
Nat Israel?
Yes.
Thank you. Paul Stout?
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, Juan Carball?
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, I missed that. So is there anybody that anybody expects to testify that we haven't mentioned? Okay. So we are bringing in the record from the prior hearing, but I think for this to make a little bit of sense, just so that this record sticks together, if someone listens to it, that we have a brief presentation again, why we're here from petitioner.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Hoy. I'm Hoy Yu. I'm the associate engineer for the City of Santa Cruz Public Works Department. We are back to ask for a regular variance to operate an open flare at our landfill site. So I guess I can do a brief summary of what was going on for the record. A high wind event in February knocked down PG&E equipment, their direct transfer trip, as well as their SCADA equipment, which has prevented the third party vendor that works with the city, Opal Fuels, or I think in the records is Santa Cruz LFGs or something. They are unable to transmit electricity into the grid because of the equipment damage. So as of right now, they have their breakers back. They have electricity on site, but they still cannot transmit electricity. While the city has contracted with our consultant Tetra Tech BAS to procure a temporary open flare to operate on site for up to a year, which is again why we're seeking this regular variance, in order to control the landfill gas on our sites to stay in compliance. So again, we don't have a backup control because the methane plant is down. We would like the regular variance to have the ability to operate the open flare until we can get the permanent flare. A permanent flare will take about 9 months to a year to procure. The city has these procurement processes that might delay it a little further. Regardless, we need the open flare in order to stay in compliance. The second thing we would like to propose after reviewing the draft order is to revise condition 8. I think as it is written now, it says if the landfill gas plant is not back online by October 31st, 2024, petitioner shall collect a sample of landfill gas to measure the landfill gas heating value. So we would like to propose a language revision to say that that if the landfill gas plant has not conducted its annual source test, then this petitioner, the city, will collect a sample of the landfill gas. We've proposed this to the MBAR staff and they've agreed. So that kind of concludes our presentation.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I have four questions for you. Just give me one more second. So just to kind of clarify the record, so we have the municipal solid waste landfill and MSW landfill, and then separately, we have a gas destruction system, which is the generator. So these are my four questions for the City of Santa Cruz. Is the City of Santa Cruz the owner of the municipal solid waste landfill?
Yes.
Is the City of Santa Cruz the operator of the municipal solid waste landfill?
Yes.
Okay. And so I don't know if you know in your permit that they refer to the internal combustion engine that drives the generator as the gas destruction system, but I'm going to refer to it as that. I don't know if you're familiar with that language, but is the City of Santa Cruz the owner of the gas destruction system? The City of Santa Cruz, the operator of the gas destruction system?
No.
Okay, that's all I have. Anybody?
Thanks. Yeah, I have a question to follow up on the Section 8 revision. Is that, again, it's if the contractor fails to do the tests, you'd want the city to be able to step in and take the test to be in compliance? Okay, thanks.
When you guys were here last time, was it between now and then, when did you notice that you would need to come back again for this?
I'm sorry, when do we know we needed to come back?
Like to apply for another?
Oh, I think that happened at the same time. It was the same application for the interim and the regular.
I kind of was confused, but thank you for letting me know that.
I'll look to staff.
Good afternoon. I'm Amy Climo. I'm the MBAR's engineering compliance manager, and I'll provide a brief oral report from staff. And then we've also got Mary Gerardo and Armando Jimenez here to support if there's any additional questions. So an update since our April 22nd, 2024 hearing was we sent a permit application denial letter to the city on May 8th, stating that the open flare does not meet the best available control technology, which is considered called BACT, for the oxide of nitrogen emissions or NOx emissions. And this was done to comply with Rules 207, Section 6.2, which provides that we have 30 days to determine whether an application is complete. And as the city mentioned, they will be proceeding with a permanent solution to install an enclosed ground flare, which is what meets the BACT requirements. And then just a few items from last meeting. I wanted to remind everyone that continuous operation of a landfill gas collection and control system is necessary for preventing the escape of landfill gas into the atmosphere or offsite migration of the landfill gas. And uncontrolled releases of landfill gas can create health and safety concerns. And so MBARD determined that although the state landfill methane regulation does allow for temporary operation of an open flare, it's our Rule 207 backed requirements for NOx that will not allow us to permit this type of unit. And so I do want to mention that we do support the change to condition 8 in the order. And due to the requirement to continuously operate a landfill gas collection and control system, the variance cannot limit the operation of the open flare. And we did issue a violation to the city for failing to continuously operate the landfill gas collection and control system before this variance hearing application was submitted in April. And public agencies are exempt from paying excess emissions fees per Rule 309.4.7. And operation of the open flare is not expected to create a public nuisance. And the regular variance term would begin today and would be, if it's approved, extended for 1 year until May 10th, 2025. And that concludes my report.
Thank you for that. I have questions for staff, but Emmett?
Yeah, so after the year, then I had thought I'd heard that a permanent, after the year, then a permanent flare would be installed. Would that be open or?
It'll be an enclosed flare so that I think Hoy said it's going to be maybe about 9 to 12 months to get that through the process. So that's what the variance term will cover.
Thank you.
I do have some questions. So I appreciate that I saw the permit to operate with the city, and I think there's also an ATC in here for the generator. But I expected to see some dates on these that were quite old, and instead they're like fairly recent. And I know we don't do the permitting, we just clean up the messes. But unless there's some sort of legislative guideline, case law, or administrative guidelines that interpret like the carbon LMR and stuff, it seems to me like the original permits aren't compliant to the rules, but we don't have to worry about it because we're not going back to the original case because we're going to have a enclosed flare in. But I do have questions about it. I mean, is the CARB LMR binding on this operation?
So if you're talking about the landfill gas engine, that the permit is to Santa Cruz Energy LLC,
well, I understand that.
That's a separate issue that we are having CARB help us with to address separately.
And I understand that that's okay. Your point of view, but I don't see the rules that way quite. And I'll tell you what, a couple of things that I see is, well, before we get into that part, sure. First we go into this when you can use an open flare. So you can use an open flare under a very limited circumstance now, and it sounds like it's for an extremely low-level collection. But I'm not familiar with what the input key capacity of less than 3 MMBTU per hour is. Is that very low level?
That's not the section we're referring to for this, for allowing a temporary open flare.
I'm not saying for a temporary open flare. I'm talking about operating with an open flare and being compliant. I'm not talking about us giving them a variance to do this. That's what we're doing. I'm talking about if this landfill was operating and it didn't have this generator and it's required to destroy it's methane that it's collecting. And typically that's going to be done in one of two ways, a controlled flare or you're going to go through a generator. But there are some small place rules that you can get through to have an open flare. Always. But it's when it's insufficient to support a continuous operation of an enclosed flare, that's one. So this sounds like for very, very small. But I see that it says 3.0 MMBTU per hour. Does anybody have any information they can give about whether that's an extremely small amount?
Yes, this is Armando Jimenez. I'm a quality permit engineer. 3 million BTU is a pretty small flare. Yep. Yes, and that's the applicability for having to install a gas collection and control system. So if a landfill has the capacity of the landfill gas is less than 3 million BTUs, they're not required to install a gas collection and control device.
So it makes clear that as a permanent solution, you have to have, well, this could have never, if they didn't have a generation system, they couldn't have had an open flare because they have too much gas for an open flare to be compliant. I'm just kind of going through these rules. And I know we're going to do the right thing with regard to the rules for the variance and how we go forward, but I'm still scratching my head how we got to this spot, because the other portion of LMR is that any owner or operator of an active MSL, MSW landfill, which is the city of Santa Cruz, must operate a gas collection and control system. So the collection and control system do we view that as different than the destruction system?
No, the destruction system is the control.
Okay, so we're on the record that they're not the operator of the control system, yet the LMR requires that the owner and operator of the landfill be the operator of the control system. So we're not being asked to adjudicate that here or administer anything with regard to that. But when I read that, It tells me that either there's some existing complementary law somewhere that says that it can be farmed out to third parties.
It's in the definitions of operator and owner in the regulation. It's not just the landfill. If you read the definitions of operator and owner on page 27 of the regulation, that's where it defines other ways for an entity to be considered an operator or owner.
Okay, that's what I wanted to hear, and I'm sorry I didn't see that earlier. So we're looking at operator on page 81 of the agenda.
Yes.
Okay, I don't see that as getting around that requirement.
So 24C operates any stationary equipment for the collection of landfill gas. That's considered an operator. And so this is an example of where we're trying to collect information to show that Santa Cruz Energy is an operator because they are operating stationary equipment.
I don't doubt that they're the operator. It's just that the requirement is that the operator of the landfill has to be the operator of the gas collection and control system. And we're not disagreeing about what you're saying. Anyway, I'm just pointing that out, and it makes me scratch my head how people get around that in initial permitting, which we don't do. Why it becomes important to me is, and this has a thing about the condition. One of the conditions is, because everybody's trying to do the right thing, is they're going to put in an enclosed flare. So that's going to be super good, because if they have this problem again, they have a way to get rid of it in a much better fashion. Also, anytime that energy production system from the gas turbine needs to go down for extended maintenance or anything, you've got something good in place. It's all for the best. One second to find where I'm coming from on that. The condition is that they apply for a permit. And that may be all we're authorized to put in as a condition, but nothing says in the condition that they can't 6 months later withdraw the permit application. I mean, one of the questions is why is not staff thinking about a condition or recommending a condition? I mean, we place them, but you recommend them. That is that they install.
They couldn't install it until they get what's called an authority to construct from us. So they have to apply for a permit first.
And I know it's hard to require something that has to be applied for because you never know for sure if you're going to get it or not. But requiring that they apply for a permit in the paperwork, just on its face, doesn't guarantee a leading to it having a closed burner later. It certainly, where everybody's trying to do the right thing and push it that way. But is there any, have you ever had experience where people had to make changes, had to do an authority to construct later? Was the condition in the variance simply that they had to apply? And I'll ask my colleagues if we're comfortable with that. And I'm not saying I'm not comfortable with it, but it's worth discussing that we're not actually requiring them to put in a burner. The condition that we are considering laying on them is that they have to apply to do so. I don't have any doubt of the good faith of the city, but I've certainly worked in forums where I had reasons to doubt the good faith of people, and if that was the only condition, that didn't mean it was going to carry through. So do you have any thoughts on that, or am I making a mountain out of molehill in your view? I mean, or because, and I'll ask Reed, because we can't ensure that they're going to get a permit from that application, is that the best we should do, is just that they're going to go down that route?
I think that's the basis of you making the variance determination, is the expectation that that will happen. And if they were to withdraw it sooner, obviously, I think that that would be an unfortunate turn of events based on expectations between, you know, good acting parties. Unlikely, but that is a potential outcome that I could see happening. I just don't think it's highly likely. Mm-hmm. And if that were to happen and we were to be back here, we would have some recourse.
Okay. So based on that, I have a question. So for the city, so with this regard to this enclosed burner, have you started looking into the project of putting in the closed burner?
Yes.
And based on what you know now, do you feel like the city has the budget and will be able to follow through on that?
I believe so. We were just talking about that. I have to go look at the, we just did kind of budget hearing, so I have to check it before I say yes. Yeah, but I believe so.
Okay. A little in the weeds, but I've worked in forum. I don't doubt the good faith of the city for a minute. I've learned that you double check whether or not things are actually required or not, because sometimes you all could be retired in 3 years and this won't go forward. The other thing, the thing I'm really more legitimate concern about is the city may find out that the enclosed border is quite expensive and they can't afford it. And then we didn't require them to put it in. We only required that they apply for the permit, which they could withdraw. Once again, I'll say it a third time, I don't doubt your good faith, but if something like that did happen, how would staff view that as something that would go to the main board or something that would come back to the hearing board? Or
we would bring it back to the hearing board, but I would also say that based on the timeline that Hoy just mentioned, 9 to 12 months, it might not be possible for them to finish everything to actually install the enclosed flare by the end of this variance term, and that they may have to apply to extend the date. I mean, that's also a possibility. So if you have a condition for them to require them to install it, they might not be able to meet that condition. They'd be in violation. Even though they were moving forward and they procured what they needed to do, they were out there doing the work to lay the pad or whatever it might be that they need to do on the site. But if they hadn't installed it by May of next year, then they would technically be in violation of the condition of the order. And I don't think that's the intention either, if they've made good progress towards installing it.
So I think I would be comfortable with one thing if it's possible. So let me just ask, I don't have the order, but on this level of variance, what is our period of term that we have the authority? Is it a year?
It's 1 year. And then I think it can go up to 18, like another 6 months.
Separate from the conditions that we put in, is not as part of the order, but as a request to staff, can we request and receive report back on the progress with it by the end of the year?
Sure. By December?
By the end of a year from now.
A year from now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because that would address the concern I had about,
sure,
is it really moving along?
Yeah.
So then we have the authority to grant for a year. Then there's an extra 6 months, but we can't go beyond a year. So you're going to give us an update. And if it's not, we need a 6 month extension. We'll do.
Yeah, then the city would petition for an extension on the date.
Got it.
So I know we're going to have a little discussion about findings, but before we get to that, so there was some discussion on the findings last time where we ran into a potential concern about one of the findings that we would be required to make doesn't seem to have any applicability to this circumstance. We have a circumstance where if we don't give them a variance, they can't burn a flare, but then they're going to be emitting gas and there's no way for them to stop that. It's going to be going underground and above ground. And so to not give the variance doesn't like shut down their business. It's not a taking from them. It's a really bad environmental outcome is what it is. But we have to make a finding that if we didn't give them the variance, we had to require compliance immediately, not give them the variance, it would be an unreasonable taking of property or practical closing of a business. It really is just an inapplicable finding. And I don't know what the right word is, not waived, but ignored a finding need before by saying it's inapplicable. And I know we brought this up last time. Reed, I'm looking to you to give us a suggestion on how one addresses such an inapplicable finding requirement.
You massage the language, Chair, as any good lawyer will tell you. I think looking specifically, there's two sections of the code that I get my eyes drawn to, 42352A2 and 42352.5A1 and 2, which kind of say the same thing, which is that when you're determining whether or not it's an unreasonable, arbitrary taking of property or closing of a business, consider the following factors when you're talking about a public agency And the wiggle room that I think is more applicable would be in making the findings where the petitioner is a public agency, considering whether or not requiring immediate compliance would impose an unreasonable burden upon an essential public service. An essential public service is defined as a landfill, gas control, a processing facility, as well as, well, it says prisons, detention facilities, schools, healthcare, landfill, gas processing, sewage treatment works, water delivery. So in my opinion, I think if you were to approach this from the perspective that requiring them to immediately comply is impracticable, it's unreasonable, and that's a burden that you'd be placing on an essential public service, which is the operation of the landfill, which is required to operate this type of gas diversion. Okay. So I think that kind of teased out explanation would sufficiently address that particular finding.
Okay. And then could we, after, and I wrote this language that would place an unreasonable burden on an essential public facility, you know, prefacing that with it's a public agency, and then it might be more clarifying to then period and then put in another sentence, which is that furthermore, failure to grant the variance will not stop the leakage of the gas.
Yeah, I think
that leads to a worse environmental outcome.
And I think that's an important note to make. And I think that's kind of wrapped up in finding three, which is the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. You're not going to reduce the air contaminants by saying no.
Yeah.
So that's, I think you can spell that out very clearly with respect to that finding.
Okay, thank you for that. So if I draw our attention to page 151 of the agenda, which is the findings of fact, I don't think there's any difficulty in making the finding that petitioner is or will be in violation of any rule, regulation, or the district. They are, in fact, in violation. And we're not, no one's contesting them. The second finding that we need to make is that due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in either an arbitrary or unreasonable taking of property or the practical closing and elimination of an unlawful business. There are some facts there. On the top of page 152, the first full paragraph, it does talk about sort of the worst environmental. It does say landfill gas would still be generated. In my view, and I'll ask staff if they would like to comment or confirm, without the flare that we're giving them a variance for, an open flare, that's a better output. Even though it's not as complete a combustion, it's a much better outcome than not having the flare at all.
Correct. Yes, there's just landfill gas building up with nowhere to go.
I appreciate that you prepared that in the draft finding, but I'd want to ask, make it just more explicit. And so my suggestion is that we leave in the starting at line 20 of page 151 as sort of a factual predicate there, and then go right around line 11 on agenda page 152, we'll add the following, and before I read it into the record, and then, is it proper for the city as a public agency? Okay, I'll put in a third paragraph, which would be that as the petitioner is a public agency, it would place an unreasonable burden on an essential public facility to require immediate compliance. Furthermore, it's not a practical solution as a media compliance would take further permitting. Furthermore, failure to grant this variance, which will lead to combustion of most of the landfill gas, would lead to a worse environmental outcome. That may be a little clunky, but that's what I'd like to have written. And if there's anything else further you'd like to add into that, either one of you? Okay, so that, I'd like to go on to the next finding, which was closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. Once again, this is an odd, semi-inapplicable, because it's not saying the failure to grant the variance would, it's saying the closing. And I think that we're okay the way that it's written, unless we wanted to elaborate further that the final sentence, which is the the most environmentally friendly alternative available. Is the granting of the variance.
So is that a new, is that D?
So no, that just at line 21, where finding discussion for C ends with the words, the community period, this would be a sentence I'd like to add afterwards, which would be most environmentally friendly. I think the least environmentally impactful. I use the word friendly. The least environmentally impactful alternative available is the granting of the variance. Just to make clear what we're doing here, we're making our findings. It's not us just sitting up here trying to do the right thing. We have a rule book which we have to comply with. Okay, so the next, any comments on C? D, the petitioner for the variance is given consideration to curtailing operations of the source in lieu of variance. Once again, it's not like an asphalt burner where you can shut it down. It just keeps coming out. I believe the draft for D is just fine. Any comments? E is during the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. We have draft language there. And I believe I'm comfortable with that. Any comments? Yeah, I think the big one for us was this this first one where it talked about closing. It's just it's so backwards, like closing is worse.
Yeah, that was big. But it seems to me like the subsequent ones are just kind of repeating themselves. I mean, it's fine.
And then we have two more. F is during the period the variance is in effect, petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emission levels from the source. I'll look to staff, and I believe that this is being done. What level of monitoring do we have during this 9 month of flaring?
At the interim variance hearing on April 22nd, Mary mentioned that you can't source test an open flare when she was discussing the difference between an open flare and an enclosed flare. And so the reason why we added condition 8 to get a sample of the landfill gas was to help us understand the landfill gas composition. And so normally when the engine is source tested every year, we get that information. It's just a way to help us cross-check our emission calculations, but that's really the only way we'd be able to do that. And there's other conditions that limit the flow rate and temperature.
So we don't look at anything post-combustion. We're going to look at stuff pre-combustion. So
there's no monitoring of emissions. It's just we're using emission calculations.
You said after a year you're going to look at the landfill gas. So that's pre-combustion.
Yes.
So is there not pre-combustion testing currently on any permit?
Just once a year they do it.
Okay. So like if there was high sulfur or something, that's when you catch it once per year.
Exactly. And we'd be like, uh-oh, you can't meet that. Now you can't meet your sulfur limits.
And would it be fair to say that what's going on, whether it's the burner or we don't expect any change in landfill gas composition as a result of anything that's going on over here with the failed generator?
I actually have no idea. I don't know what's gone on in the landfill while it's been shut down for several months.
Okay, so I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure.
We're all comfortable. There's not much testing of this.
Yeah, there's not. But I wasn't under the understanding that the landfill was shut down. Currently shut down?
The landfill is not shut down. The gas collection and control system is shut down. Yeah, so all of the gases are still being generated, but it's possible that the species in that gas might be a little bit different. I don't know, or it could be the same. It's just because it's been sitting there for several months, not being taken out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So the last one is a nuisance as defined is not expected to occur because of this variance. So when you go up Highway 1 out of the city, how far off Highway 1 is this flare going to be?
I'll say maybe a mile or so.
Quite a ways.
Quite a ways.
Is it behind a ridge? Yeah. One of the concerns.
Behind some recycling buildings.
At this variance, and then people driving north at night are going to see. I know they're not super bright. They're sort of an orange flame, but going to be visible. I was concerned it was going to be really visible. It's going to be like two devil horns because it's just lit, you know, and people are going to wonder about it. And then you try to tell them it's the more environmentally friendly thing to do under the circumstances. Anyway, I bring it up in the nuisance. Doesn't have to be air nuisance. It could be visual nuisance. In your best estimation, is this going to be easily visible at night from Highway 1?
From Highway 1?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so, but I will say that it's completely dark out there, so I wouldn't say 100%. But when you drive along Highway 1, right, you're surrounded by these kind of dunes or hills. You can't really see it just like by driving along Highway 1, I would say.
Based on that, I don't sense a clear nuisance. So I'm okay with this finding.
Yep.
Okay. So I read into the record some changes to some of the findings. So I'll turn it to both of you one at a time for final discussion, but if we ever did make a motion, I'd like the motion to be to include the modifications as read into the record during the discussion. But for final discussion, Mr. Melinder.
Yeah, no, I have no final.
The question. I know landfills have a lifespan, as they say. First question being, how long does this landfill have left? And two would be, would we ever have to go to this process again, or is this like a one size fits all type of deal?
To the first question, we would be closing around 2060 is the current estimation. The second is whether or not if the shutdown and we're going to have to worry about it. We hope not. That's why we are trying to get the permanent flare.
Thank you.
Ready for motion?
I'd like to motion that we approve the, I guess, amendments as you.
It would be the order granting variance as amended is what I would suggest the language.
The order
granting variance.
Yeah.
As amended during discussion.
Okay, I'd like to motion that that we approve the order variance as amended through our discussion at this meeting.
Second that.
Thank you. Take a roll call, please.
Director Linder. Both. Director Dodge.
Yes.
Chair Guth. Approved unanimously.
Before we leave this item, I'd like to remind staff that we could get a report back, you know, when either anything interesting happens or within a year.
We'll do it maybe in 6 months, but if something magical happens before that, we'll all come sooner.
Thank you for coming. Good luck. Yeah. Let's take a look here. I know it's getting late, but I think we're. I'm going to the last I'm gonna look at the clock. Let's take a 6 or 7.
Next.